Now, before we turn to God's word, let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning once again for your word. We know that this is a book that many of us have lived with for a lifetime now. And over all of that time, it has been used of the Holy Spirit to point to us out the great truths that we need to learn. And so as we turn to it again this morning, we look to the guiding of the Spirit of God. We pray that the preacher will know that help as he ministers the word, that all the people, both young and old, will hear the voice of God speak through the word of God to the glory of God. So we commit this time now around your word to you, as once more we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I'd like you please to turn with me again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I'm going to once again, I will finish with this portion today, but I want to read these 16 verses through. The subject is Understanding the Church. The subtitle is The Beauty and Ability of a Healthy Body. So let's see if you can find that title in these verses that we read together. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. There is one Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He also descended as the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Subtitle, as I have just said, is The Beauty and Ability of a Healthy Body. Really, the verses I will spend much time on this morning is verse 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Of all of God's creation, there is really nothing to compare with the human body. I don't say that lightly. Say that in looking at God's word and considering what God has got to say and looking at His creation and realizing that of all the creation, there is nothing to compare with the human body and, of course, the soul that indwells that human body. The psalmist says this about that body: "For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." You see, he's giving it all the glory to God. He says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the day that were formed for me, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I praise you," he says, "because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Humanity, it would seem, is the crown of God's creation. Why do I say this? Well, I say this in the light of what we find as we look at creation. In creation, we can see that God said, "Let us make man," after He had made the other things, all the other aspects of creation. He said, "Let us make man." But man will be different. "Let us make man in our image." Note the plural, that's the triune God. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have the dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Can you see what I mean when I say this was the crown of God's creation? This was the most wonderful creature that was made in all of creation. Why? Because God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. What a dreadful day it was when that wonderful creation was marred by sin. Have you ever tried to imagine what Adam and Eve were like before the fall? There they were in this most beautiful place, this place of God's creation, and He had placed them there to care for it. There was no sin. And Adam and Eve, in that perfect state, walked with God. The dreadful moment came when man fell. And all the ugliness that we see in humanity today is the result of that fall. We sometimes look at humanity and we're in our world and we think to ourselves, what an ugly picture we have. What an awful spectacle we see. As we see of the humanity that was made in the image of God, now in this awful state of rebellion against God, the scars of sin marring the beauty of God's creation. Why am I talking about this morning? Because I want us to see that whenever we come to think about the Church of Jesus Christ, we can see here in this passage that we have read together that the apostle uses the human body to reveal something of the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, we read these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one can boast. And then verse 10 says this, and we have already looked at this. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. Who are His workmanship? Who are the we that we find here in the text? We are the children of God. They are the people who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They are the people who have become a new creation. They are the people who are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And He says, we are His workmanship. How did that come about? How did they come to be what they are? Because of God's grace. And so we are the workmanship created, it says, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This new creation is made up of people from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. My dear friends, I am convinced that we need to emphasize that in today's world. Because the world is seeking to divide the people of the world more and more. Divide people in so many ways, put them into so many categories. We as Christian people need to keep this in mind, that this new creation is made up of people from from every tribe, from every nation, from every language. This whole colored barrier that is spoken of today is a nonsense as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. We read or we sang in our hymn, and I've just quoted, there is no division, neither bond nor free, great nor servile, Lord, with thee. Love like death has all destroyed. Love like death is all destroyed. The love of God has destroyed this. The love that is placed in the hearts of men and women who become that new creation in Christ has destroyed that. No longer do we see people from the world's point of view, but we see God's people from God's point of view. And as we see in the Holy Scripture, we are one in Christ. There is one body and one spirit. Just as we were called to one hope that belongs to our call, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father who is over all, and he is through all, and he is in all. My dear friends, let's take that in. Let's not be swayed by the world in any way. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. That's what one of the translations, the way that one of the translations puts that verse in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have all the time the world carping in our ear. But our ears should not be attuned to the world, but attuned to Christ. Christ alone. This new creation is described as a body. That's why I spoke about this body. And this is this new body which has been created. This is this new workmanship that has been created. You see, when men and women are converted, they do become a new creation. Sometimes I think we forget that. They become a new creation. When I was born again, I was born of God. When you were born again, you were born of God. And what God does is he takes his new creation, and he fits his new creation into a body. That is the body of Christ. This new creation is described as a body with a head. Well, a headless body is never much good to anybody. This is a body that is described with a wonderful head. The body is called the Church of Christ. The head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you see, when men and women are truly in a Bible-based body, a body made up of a new creation, made up of men and women whose lives have been changed, who have been brought out of the pit of sin, who have been brought up and put on the rock, Christ Jesus. That's the body. There is one body. And yet there is that sense in which in every local church, as we will see, there is that local body. that local expression of the whole body of Christ. That's why we emphasize the importance of people who are believers, who are professing believers, to join themselves to a local body where together they can serve one another, and most of all serve Christ. Now let's look at verse 15 and 16. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him. Note the wording. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part of the body is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, I think if we want to understand the church, we must come to these verses. All of this passage is talking about this, but here we have the conclusion before he moves on. Now, I know that I've touched on these verses before, but I want to enlarge upon them as I will leave these verses now and move on, God willing. Verse 15 says, and I quote it again, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Now, he's talking to every one of us just now. When he's talking about the we are to grow up in every way, he's saying to every one of us that we should be a people who are continually growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Not remain spiritual babes, but a people who grow and mature in Christ, that we might grow up in every way. How are we to grow up in every way? See what the rest of the verse says. Into Him who is the head, into Christ. Now please don't miss that little word into. Into Him. Who is Him? Well, we know the rest of the verse. It is Christ. Into Him who is the head. Into Christ. We are not to grow up in any other way, but we are to grow up into Christ. You see, it's here that we have the purpose of the pastor teachers that we have talked about. They teach in order that the members of the church might grow up in every spiritual way into Christ. That every member must mature in grace and in knowledge of Him, as we saw last week. Now note what that growth looks like. That growth is growing up into Jesus Christ. Growing up into Jesus Christ. It's not growing up into the pastors and teachers, or the apostles and prophets and evangelists. It's growing up into Christ, who is the head. See the word into. What does it mean? I'm laboring this a little bit just now because it's important. Here's something that I found when I was very young, and because I'm no Greek or Hebrew scholar, and you know that, I was taught this when I was very young as a Christian, that as I come, I should always compare Scripture with Scripture. And whenever I come to a word, then I should grab my concordance, bring it down, find that word, and then find out what that word is saying in other texts. And that way it will help me. Now that has stood me in good stead right down through the years. Now the Hebrew and Greek, I'm able to go to the computer and find out those words. But still I come back to this. Now let me show you what I mean. We have this word many, many times through the Bible, these words. In Matthew 2:11, you don't need to turn to it. I'm just using this as an example. And it says of Jesus, and going into the house, he saw the child with Mary. Or rather, this is at the birth of the Lord Jesus. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, the mother, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped. Now you see the word there, and going into the house. That's the very same word that we find here when it talks about growing into Christ. Now, what did the wise men do? They went into the house and they saw the child. They went through the door. They went into the house. It's repeated again in a couple of chapters on. Now, when they had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Same word. What is it saying? That the Lord Jesus went into Galilee. The wise men went into the house. And we are to be a people who grow up into Christ. So you can see at a glance that intimate relationship which exists for the believer. We use this word into in the same way. For example, we might look at somebody called John, and I haven't any particular John in mind, and we could say, John has grown up into a fine young man. Into a fine young man. Or Mary has grown up into a beautiful young woman, just like her mum. She has grown up into a beautiful woman. Or we talk about a tree sometimes, a tree in our back garden. And we say the tree in our backyard has grown into a fine specimen of an oak tree. It has grown into. It just looks like any other beautiful oak tree. And here in our text, we have the word, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is Christ. We could put this in another way. We could read it like this. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body. Growing more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body. The individual believers and the local church is to grow more and more like its head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as we think about that, we ask ourselves the question, how does that happen? How do individuals grow up to be more and more like Jesus Christ? I would ask you this morning, do you think that you are becoming more like the head, like the Lord Jesus? And if you are, how does that come about? How does someone come to more and more resemble Christ? They certainly don't do that by themselves. But this comes, my dear friends, from sound biblical instruction and an eager desire to submit to that instruction. It comes as a result of sound biblical instruction and an eager desire to submit to that instruction. You see, you have the pastors and the teachers. And their responsibility, as we have seen, is a great responsibility in the church. Their responsibility is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, as we have seen. Their responsibility is to see and to nurture and to feed the saints so that they grow and mature in their Christian faith and thus become more and more like Christ. But that only happens when someone is willing to submit themselves to the authority of God's word and submit themselves to the instruction of God's word. That means whenever someone becomes a Christian, often their lifestyle changes. They no longer go to the pub on a Friday night. It seems they go every night to the pub now, but in my day it used to be Friday night. They would go no longer do that. They no longer go to the places of sin that they used to frequent. They no longer do that. Why? Because they are submitting themselves to the instruction of God through God's word, through God's saints, and through the prompting and leading of the Spirit of God. So we can see, as I've said before and I repeat again, there is no such thing as somebody who is a believer but are not part of a local body of Christ, because it's there that they receive the instruction. It's there that they're taught and instructed. It's from there that they go to meditate upon the Word of God. And as they do, they continue to grow and mature. And as they grow and mature, they become more and more like the wonderful, beautiful head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Christian's head is Jesus Christ, and he is the perfect one. Hebrews 7:26 says this, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest." Now, here's how this high priest of ours is described when he was here on earth. Holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sin, and exalted above the heavens. Peter says this, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile way inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable blood things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ," and he describes him in this way, "like a lamb without blemish and without spot." Peter goes on to say, for what credit is it if you, when you sin, are beaten for it? You endure. But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you were called, please listen to this, to this, dear brother, sister in Christ, you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. Leaving you as an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, who is Christ. Now, the writer hammers home all that he has said with these words in the 16th verse. Look at it. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, I must say, I must read that again, and I must ask you to follow it with me. From whom, that's the Lord Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped by God, when each part in the church, in the body of Christ, is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, do you get the picture just here? We have here individuals growing up spiritually in every spiritual way into Jesus Christ, their heads. They are now incorporated into the local body of Christ. And so this can be a picture of the local church. We have the head, who is Christ. And we have the joints with which it is equipped. It is held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now it's talking about the members of the body. Within that local body, when each part, that is every part, is working properly, every member is working properly for the good of the body and the glory of God, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Note the language: from the whole body, joined and held together with every joint. The Amplified version of the Bible puts it like this, and I liked it. For because of him, the whole body, that is the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. Here we have this amazing picture of a Bible-believing church and a Bible-based church. You remember how I started? By looking at the human body and seeing that human body that is miraculous, that we are made in the image of God. Then comes the fall, but then there is the new creation, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And now this body is brought together. Someone from there and there and there and there. In this case, in New Zealand, in our church rather, we have people who have come from the other side of the world. People who have come here into this land. And we have been brought together. And we are all different members of the body of Christ. And He, in His sovereignty, has brought us all together and united us all together as one under the head who is Christ. And here is the picture of a beautiful body. When each part is working properly. See what it says. When each part is working properly. Now let me say this. If you're a Christian and you're part of this church, you have got a vital part to play in the life of this church, just as I have. And you have got to be doing your part in the body of Christ. Whenever that is so, then the body is working properly. You and I know that it is important for every member of our body to be working properly, for that body to function properly. It needs to be working properly. When you get up in the morning and every part of your body is functioning properly, you're on top of the world. And you're ready for whatever that day throws at you. On the other hand, if you wake up in the morning with a sore back, thumping toothache and headache, and a sore throat, you know that the day is going to be hard, because your body is not functioning as it ought to function, and it's going to cause you to struggle through the day and only half do the things that you want to do properly. My dear friends, the same is true in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants me and He wants you to function properly in the life of your local church, so that that body will continue to grow. It will continue to mature. And let me tell you, when you get a church like that, it is church that brings great glory and honor and praise to God. Let's be honest, my dear friends. Is it not true to say that some so-called churches are a disgrace to the name of Christ, who is supposedly their head? You see, I am convinced, and I know this without any doubt, that God intends every church to show something of the beauty of Jesus Christ. If you want to read through the book of the Revelation, where it looks at the seven different churches, you will see that's exactly what it is saying. Here we have a wonderful picture of a church that's functioning properly. Here then we have the church as it ought to be. Now the future of this church is in the hand of God. It's not my hands, not being in Goodman's hands whenever he comes. It is in the hand of God. And every member in this church needs to continue to grow up into Christ, who is the head. And every member needs to function together, one with the other, in a beautiful way. that makes the world stand in awe at the wonder of such beauty. Today, this week, I shared something that came in. I thought it was a lovely quote from Spurgeon, and with that I will finish. Some of you have seen it, I know. The church is not an institution for perfect people. I like that. Church is not an institution for perfect people. It is a sanctuary for sinners saved by grace. It is a nursery for sweet children to be nurtured and to grow strong. It is a fold for Christ's sheep, the home of Christ's family. The church, listen to this. This is the great Spurgeon. The church is the dearest place on earth. The church is the dearest place on earth. Why? Because it is the place where we gather to worship God. We gather to build each other up in the most holy faith. We gather to serve Him in the way that we have, He has called us to serve Him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this series on understanding the church. And we know, Father, that there is much more that could be said as we would go to many other passages of Scripture. But, oh Father, we thank You for what we have learned. We thank You for the church. Thank You for this church, Lord, today. Thank You for the unity that You've given to us as a body of believers, and yet we know that the devil is very busy seeking to disturb and destroy that unity. We ask, Father, that You will help each one of us to see our calling, to encourage one another and so much more as we see the day approaching, and that we indeed may a people who continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, will You bless Your word to all our heart once again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.